atmosphere. The sick people needed drugs, but Washington has restricted the import of tablets and injection shots. This reveals their enmity with the Iranian people. I think our people are paying the price of standing on their own feet.
Drug and medical supply companies in Iran are now saying that the new sanctions have affected their work. Iran makes many of its needed drugs inside the country through pharmaceutical research, but treatments for cancer or rare diseases and transplants often rely on imports.
We must expand our knowledge. We must be aware that Iran will always be under sanctions by the Zionists and the US. Day by day, these sanctions will be expanded, so we need to have the knowledge to meet our needs by producing medicines domestically.
Iranians' access to medicine and their right to health is being threatened and may worsen if the situation does not change.
After sanctioning 18 Iranian banks as part of its maximum pressure policy, in its latest move, the U.S. government sanctioned Iran's oil minister, oil industry, and related companies. Mouman Abedi, Tehran.
Afghans are marking the arrival of the birthday anniversary of the Prophet Muhammad under the name of Unity Week, at a time when Islamophobia is growing in some parts of the world and amid French President Emmanuel Macron's recent insulting comments about the Holy Prophet of Islam, people in Afghanistan are attending ceremonies like this one in Kabul as a show of respect and love for the Prophet of over 2 billion Muslims.
I'm here to show my strong support and deep love for the beloved Holy Prophet. Fortunately, we can attend different ceremonies that deepen our understanding of Islam.
We don't care about insulting words of individuals like Macron. This is especially because our leader, the Holy Prophet, has ordered us to be logically patient. Instead, we mark Unity Week to show how the followers of Islam's Holy Prophet ignore tensions and approve unity.
Based on Islamic beliefs, the arrival of Unity Week, as its title suggests, serves as a big opportunity for Muslims to once again return to the main teachings of the Prophet Muhammad, such as strengthening unity among Muslims. Some others believe that the arrival of the birthday anniversary of Islam's Holy Prophet is also an opportunity for mankind to review the life and words of the Prophet Muhammad to see the real face of Islam.
Unity Week, in fact, brings unity among nations and Islamic societies like Afghanistan. I'm proudly saying it that Afghanistan is one of the leading countries of the Muslim world when it comes to the issue of Islamic Brotherhood.
I call on your audience to please study the true life and words of Islam's Holy Prophet. Yes, this is too important for anybody who is seeking truth about Islam and its honorable and holy leader, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him.
Besides calling for boosting Islamic Brotherhood among Afghans, those attending ceremonies marking Unity Week say the cementing of national unity among Afghans is one of the musts associated with Unity Week, as observers say the best way to lead the nation to a real national unity is to remove the obstacles on the way of the ongoing peace talks between the government and Taliban in the Qatari capital Doha. Sayed Amin Alami, Kabul.
A shutdown is being observed in Indian-controlled Kashmir after New Delhi amended and repealed a series of decades-old land laws of Kashmir. The new reorganization law issued on October 26, 2020, opens up all of Jammu and Kashmir to every Indian citizen and removes every restriction that prevented large land holdings. Allows the Indian armed forces to take over land wherever they desire and gives sweeping powers to the government to take over any land and property for industrial use and bring in big businesses to set up their shops. People's Democratic Party President Mehbooba Mufti, while criticizing the government's move, accused India of land grab for big investors. The October 26, 2020 order repealed 13 state laws and amends 14 laws. Experts say this is to further the agenda behind the abrogation. According to historic date check, these laws were introduced to empower the majority Muslims who were suffering immensely under the non-Muslim rulers. Not only this, but the rights to buy and sell land in Kashmir were also confined to the people of Kashmir. Experts say India's move in Kashmir since August 5, 2019 has further internationalized this conflict. In response to the shutdown call by pro-freedom camp of Kashmir, shops and businesses remained closed. Huge number of government forces were seen guarding the streets to avoid law and order problems.
Almost seven decades ago, these laws were introduced to empower the Muslim majority of Kashmir. But today, when the Hindu nationalist Bharatiya Janata Party is repealing and amending the same laws, the people of Kashmir are watching over helplessly. Experts say this move clearly depicts India's intentions in Kashmir. Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
As expected, Election Day in the United States ended with no clear winner in the presidential election. Early returns seem to give Donald Trump the key Electoral College swing states of Florida and Ohio, as the widely touted blue wave for Democratic challenger Joe Biden never materialized. However, a record number of mail-in votes means that counting could drag on for days, especially if vote totals remain close. The vote could even drag on for weeks, with hundreds of election-related lawsuits filed even before the polls opened. A highly controversial president and a highly controversial election now seem set for a highly controversial tabulation process.
I'm just kind of tired of it all. We've been in this election for 2 years, basically. And I've heard from a lot of friends that just, they're just kind of scared and worried about, chaos, worried about what the process is going to look like. Seems like a lot of things leading up to this has caused a lot of people to worry and be distrustful of, if the votes are going to be all counted and everything, so.
Polls showed that 3 out of 4 Americans were worried about violence on Election Day, probably because the mainstream media had talked about it constantly for months. But many major cities took extreme security measures, and the massive pitched battles between right-wing militias, anarchist groups, and cops never really occurred. However, nationwide rallies are set for the day after the election, and the lack of a clear victor could mean that America continues to see unprecedented protests and social unrest in 2020.
I think there's going to be violence. Doesn't matter who wins. So, like, if Trump wins, we got all the Black Lives Matter, LGBT community who are going to, like, come out here and protest. But if, Trump doesn't win, we got all the, like, white supremacists or the Trump supporters coming out.
The U.S. appears headed for a drawn-out election dispute like in the year 2000, which will be decided by lawyers and judges and not voters. As is the case with most of this exceptional year of 2020, the only certainty appears to be uncertainty. Rami Mazahari, Chicago.
More protests were held in the Italian capital on Saturday over the government's decision to impose tougher measures to contain the spread of the pandemic. Early in the afternoon, hundreds of far-right demonstrators staged a rally in Campo di Fiori against a new decree which has ordered the closure of gyms, cinemas and theatres, requiring cafes and restaurants to close their doors at 6 p.m. Clashes with police were recorded during the demonstration. Later on Saturday, another protest was held in Independence Square, not far from Rome's central train station, where thousands of protesters vented their anger at the latest anti-COVID-19 restrictions. This demonstration, dubbed You Close Us, You Pay, was called by a coalition of social movements and base unions.
Unfortunately, the government has done nothing to reduce the flow of travelers on local public transports, which have been turned into hotbeds of COVID-19 transmission. Furthermore, too many workers have not received any payroll subsidies from the government yet. How can they pay their bills and mortgage installments?
The government cannot close cafes and restaurants at 6 p.m. Owners can scrape by, maybe. But what about us workers? These restrictions are killing us.
From north to south, Italy's been hit by a wave of protests, some violent, following the introduction of more stringent coronavirus shutdown measures by the government. The country's interior ministry has warned that these demonstrations have been infiltrated by subversives who are trying to stir up trouble.
As the contagion curve continues to rise in Italy, Prime Minister Giuseppe Conte insists he doesn't want to enforce another lockdown, but many fear a new national quarantine is becoming inevitable.
So many people have already closed like their activity after the first lockdown. Some managed to survive, but they won't survive a second lockdown.
The government is expected to present a decree including new restrictions as early as Monday. Targeted lockdowns and restrictions of movement between regions are among the new measures reportedly being discussed. Max Civili, Rome.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Under the Prophet's rule, Muslims reached the peak of global civilizations.
Surely we have sent you as a witness and as a bearer of good news and as a warner and as one inviting to Allah by His permission and as a light-giving torch. The Holy Quran, Surah 33, verses 45 to 46. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his family, carried the message of knowledge, yet there was no knowledge in that society. He carried the message of justice, yet there was no trace of justice in that society, and powerful people and bullying rulers dominated people's lives and possessions. He was the messenger of morality, lenience, forgiveness, justice, and kindness. Yet that society was devoid of such characteristics in the real sense of the word.
Your light and love, O Lord, I see nothing more I'd ever want to need. My Lord, protect me from dishonor. Grant me faith to be stronger.
The society was full of unkind, bullying, immoral, ignorant, and prejudiced people who were unjustifiably arrogant and who had their hearts set on carnal desires. It was in such tough and fanatic conditions and in such a dry desert that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his family, grew up. And this 13-year period finally ended in the establishment of the Prophet's rule. He formed a community on the basis of monotheism, knowledge, justice, morality, ethics, and generosity. He transformed humility into dignity and savagery into brotherhood. He turned fanaticism into tolerance and reasoning. He transformed a state of ignorance into knowledge. He built a strong and logical foundation on the basis of which Muslims could reach the peaks of global civilizations for centuries and could rise to new heights which were unprecedented in human history.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, all praises to Allah.
This is IRIB English Radio.
Get up. Good morning.
Good morning. Your captain speaking, and we are currently cruising over Iranian skies.
گاه شهید بهشتی مسافرین گرامی خواهش مند از جهت تعیین مسیر به تابلوهای راهنما توجه فرمایید.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. How is everything?
Good morning, Mom.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
The Supplication on Fridays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, the first before the bringing forth and the giving of life, and the last after the annihilation of all things. The All-Knowing who forgets not him who remembers him, and decreases not him who thanks him, and disappoints not him who supplicates him, and cuts not off the hope of him who hopes in him. O Allah, I call thee to witness, and thou art sufficient witness, and I call to witness all thy angels and the inhabitants of thy heavens and the bearers of thy throne and thy prophets and thy messengers whom thou hast sent out and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change. And that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive, and make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans, and muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty ones.
Debate.
The U.S. presidential election has finally happened, but not without controversy. The polls, first of all, were way off. The race is a tight one between Biden and Trump, so close that Trump has said that he would forge ahead, discounting the vote count, take it to the Supreme Court if necessary, of course, unless the vote is in his favor. Isn't that considered contesting the vote? Just one of the issues we will discuss in this edition of the debate.
As expected, Election Day in the United States ended with no clear winner in the presidential election. Early returns seem to give Donald Trump the key Electoral College swing states of Florida and Ohio, as the widely touted blue wave for Democratic challenger Joe Biden never materialized. However, a record number of mail-in votes means that counting could drag on for days, especially if vote totals remain close. The vote could even drag on for weeks, with hundreds of election-related lawsuits filed even before the polls opened. A highly controversial president and a highly controversial election now seem set for a highly controversial tabulation process.
Just kind of tired of it all. We've been in this election for 2 years, basically. And I've heard from a lot of friends that just... they're just kind of scared and worried about, chaos, worried about what the process is going to look like. It just seems like a lot of things leading up to this has caused a lot of people to worry and be distrustful of, if the votes are going to be all counted and everything, so.
Polls showed that 3 out of 4 Americans were worried about violence on Election Day, probably because the mainstream media had talked about it constantly for months. But many major cities took extreme security measures, and the massive pitched battles between right-wing militias, anarchist groups, and cops never really occurred. However, However, nationwide rallies are set for the day after the election, and the lack of a clear victor could mean that America continues to see unprecedented protests and social unrest in 2020.
I think there's going to be violence. Doesn't matter who wins. So, like, if Trump wins, you know, we got all the Black Lives Matter, LGBT community who are going to, like, come out here and protest. But if, you know, Trump doesn't win, we got all the, like, white supremacists or the Trump supporters coming out.
The U.S. appears headed for a drawn-out election dispute like in the year 2000, which will be decided by lawyers and judges and not voters. As is the case with most of this exceptional year of 2020, the only certainty appears to be uncertainty. Rami Mazahari, Chicago.
Our guest joining us for this edition of The Debate, we have Noel Fritsch, who's a conservative consultant and commentator, joining us from Washington, D.C. We also have Richard Becker from the Answer Coalition joining us from San Francisco. I'd like to welcome you both. Noel Fritsch, let me first start with you. This is what Trump has said. He said this is a fraud that's placed against the American people. The American people deserve better than this. I am the victor of this election. Your reaction to his statement there?
Well, since he was inaugurated in January of 2017, they have been attempting to execute an ongoing coup every day, and now almost for 4 years. They began with their phony narrative that he was going to lose some special election contests in a series of elections across the country, Montana and Georgia notably, where the Democrats and the wealthy global bankster elites poured tens of millions of dollars into little U.S. House races, $10, $20, $30, $40, $50 million for one for John Ossoff in Georgia 6 in the northern suburbs of Atlanta, of course, where there's going to be a contest now. And those were all swatted down handily. Trump and the Trump voters every single time just beat back those phony contests where the media tried to pump up that narrative. And now you have, you went through 2 years of the Russia collusion hoax, the same fake news media that gave you the phony Kavanaugh rape allegations, the same news media that gave you, before Kavanaugh, the phony, totally disappeared Judge Roy Moore allegations in Alabama in that special election, which of course got memory hold. The same fake news media that gave you the Ukraine hoax, which of course was projection, because now we know with the Hunter Biden laptop, and I was just in Delaware looking for that laptop and trying to give it to the Biden campaign and the Chris Coons campaign, so maybe they'll do something about it. The same fake news media are now, of course, trying to perpetrate yet another fake news election and a coup. It amounts to a coup here, and there's a long track record of many foreign folks interfering here and in influencing this election. China, okay? Also Zuckerberg and all of the money that he brings, along with Soros. There are many, many tens and hundreds of millions of dollars. I'm sure it'll be billions by the time we investigate it all, that prove that there's massive foreign collusion going on, which is why you heard about foreign collusion with Russia, which was essentially
okay,
not.
So are you before I go on to the next guest, just to make sure, so are you basically approving what Trump is saying? Not approving, but
that will bear out. That will bear over time. It will bear out that this is a fraudulent election. It will bear out that this is a coup attempt perpetrated by largely foreign influence agents from many different countries.
Richard Becker, you heard our guest there. Okay, thank you for that. Let me get a reaction from our guest, Richard Becker. So you heard our guest there, and we can see how dangerous this is. Obviously, if we have our guest being representative of many Americans who obviously, I'm guessing, have the same viewpoint, and how the U.S. president is towing that line. How dangerous a precedent is this setting for what may be coming?
Well, I think it's a ridiculous storyline, and your other guest has the Trump storyline down pat, word for word. I mean, there's so many things about it that are actually quite humorous. Like, for instance, China is interfering in our election. Well, Biden and Trump have actually, I'm not a Biden supporter, I'm not a Democrat. Biden and Trump have virtually the same kind of line, negligible differences over a hostile policy toward China. So if China's interfering in the election, who are they trying to get elected? Gloria Lariva, the socialist candidate? I don't think so. I mean, these are just, you're just pile one of these ridiculous stories on top of another ridiculous story. The bottom line is this, is that Trump is such an egomaniac that, you know, anything that goes against him has to be fraud, or it has to be foreign interference or something like this. I mean, it's just really ludicrous. Trump wants his vote stopped because he's demanding that his vote be stopped now, because he knows in all likelihood that the corner has been turned and the vote is probably going to go against him. The popular vote is going to go massively against him. I think it'll come to way in excess of what it was in 2016. It'll probably be in the neighborhood of 4 to 5 million more popular votes for Biden, despite the fact that, you know, and again, I'm not a Biden supporter, and I witnessed, along with many other people, the Democratic National Committee crushing the Bernie Sanders campaign in order to give the nomination to Biden. 99% of the people who you ask, even Biden supporters, ask them a question, what does Biden stand for? Their answer can only be, we don't know, but he's not Trump.
That's the DNC and the CCP have fully melted.
That's the only attraction that Biden has really had, is because a very large part of the population, Trump has his supporters, but a very large part of the population is repulsed by his misogynistic, anti-women, anti-LGBTQ, against immigrants. You know, it just goes on and on and on.
Yeah, only one candidate didn't need, like, hundreds of millions of dollars of big tech money to dump a bunch of buckets of phony ballots, though.
Those politics have repulsed a great number of people. The gap would be even wider if it wasn't for the corrupt process of the Electoral College, which was built into the U.S. Constitution at the very beginning in order to separate the power from the people. And so it continues to be... that continues to be a highly undemocratic, that institution.
Go ahead, no further.
Yeah, we're melding here fully, rhetorically, and in fact, word and deed, into a full-on democratic people's republic right before our eyes. If you go look, there's a lot of good reporting coming out in places, swing states like North Carolina, Pennsylvania, where there's clear evidence of Chinese interference through the Confucius Institute.
Oh, that's
even Ray,
you know, really, really going to say that? That's
not
ridiculous.
Even a fan of.
What are
president.
They interfering for?
He's on record
who are they trying
about
to get elected? Biden's even more hostile to China than Trump is. So why would they be doing that?
You're saying who is more hospitable to China than Trump?
China is. He's saying
Biden is more hostile to China and the people around him.
Is that a joke?
He literally
is being paid by China. It's on the Hunter Biden laptop from hell.
Is,
he's literally
more.
Taking
so
money from China.
China
he's on the dole.
Interfering? Who are they trying to get elected?
He's on the dole, bro.
It's ridiculous. It's just more of these fantastic conspiracy theories, conspiracy stories that go around in this election.
So who's the big guy? Who's the big guy in the emails on the Hunter Biden laptop?
Make them true or accurate.
Who's the big guy on the Hunter Biden laptop? Who's the big guy?
The big guy?
The big guy, yeah, for the 10% for the big guy on the Hunter Biden laptop. Who's the big guy? Were they talking about Hunter's anatomy, or were they talking about the guy in charge of the whole money laundering scheme? Which was it?
Oh,
surely you're aware of the Hunter Biden laptop.
So let's move on.
No,
I get where you're going with that. No, let's move on to one of the things that our guest, Richard Recker, talks about. And there's a couple points that needs to be made here, and really interesting to get your thoughts on this. And that is the whole electoral process. We're looking at how that is breaking down, not breaking down in numbers, but breaking down in its efficiency or lack of it. Many have criticized the U.S. system because of this electoral process, electoral vote, which is not really, some say, representative of a true democracy in the way that the popular vote should be the
we
one.
We don't have a democracy. Yeah, we don't have a democracy. We do not have a direct democracy and a popular vote democracy. The Electoral College is the entire point. The whole point of the Constitution of the United States of America is to grind the gears up and slow some of this stuff so that you don't have, like when you see a state like California or Oregon just fall off the cliff, which is getting ready to happen, and already just in the last year in Virginia is happening. So you don't have that single party, like this. Mr. Becker, of course, would love to have a single party state rule, just like in China, where the CCP runs everything. He would love to have the Democrat Party just run everything. And he spoke very uncritically about the Democrat Party simply just choosing Joe Biden to the mild protestations of all of the Bernie people. And that is exactly what they are on about. That's exactly what the idea of denigrating the Electoral College is all about. And they're doing it with many, many hundreds of millions and billions of dollars from foreign influencers like Soros and Zuckerberg, okay? And all of these dollars, these people are not don't have any allegiance to the United States. Just like you guys don't like to have in Iran. You guys have a great country with a long history of, engineering, art, the academy. You don't like to have foreign governments interfering in your election, which is exactly what we have here. Just like Biden Obama and his team went to interfere in the Israeli election. It was kind of interesting. They wanted to get rid of Netanyahu on behalf of the communist guy, Benny Gantz, right? So we have a long track record of watching this happen, playing across country and national borders, and they're welcoming it here in the United States, the Democrat Party is.
Okay, let's expand a little bit about where this is going, given the state of affairs right now. Currently, Richard Becker, and even if a vote is or a result is actually announced, obviously we're looking at polarity that pre-existed before the elections, and perhaps now that's being expanded because of what Trump is saying. Many of his statements many see as being very controversial, and of course once the announcement is made, what do you see happening once this announcement is made in terms of the impact it's going to have on the American people?
Well, that is the big question. It's been clear for some time. Trump has made it clear that he's not inclined to accept the outcome of the election. He's refused to say that he would. So you have that. And if the election were to be stolen, and I think that that Trump is trying to make a power grab now and trying to push his federal court appointees to do his bidding in regard to shutting down the electoral process, because he can see, as everyone can see now, that in a number of key states that add up to 270 electoral votes or more, he's slipping backward. So it's very possible that there is going to be ongoing struggle, and it may be ongoing struggle in the streets as well as in the courtrooms that follow when some of the states, and a number of the states won't actually certify their elections for a month, but some of them will give unofficial results. And I think that it's very likely now that by Thursday or Friday, tomorrow or the day after tomorrow, that it'll be clear who has won the election. And I think the likelihood at this point is that it will be Biden, and then we'll see where it goes from there.
Noel Fritsch, what would happen if Trump lost this election?
Well, first of all, I do think it's going to be a little while. Just as the media was predicting that it was going to be weeks and months, I do think you're going to see a lot of investigations into folks like the Center for Tech and Civic Life up in Chicago, which is an Obama-tied organization, Zucker-tied, Knight Foundation-tied, Soros-tied organization, which has pumped many tens and hundreds of millions of dollars into specifically these swing counties and cities in a couple of key states. All that's going to be investigated. I'm pretty confident that the Trump administration is not going to take this lying down. It is basically mandatory that the United States maintain free and fair elections, free from foreign interference from the likes of China or Zuckerberg or people like Becker or people like Soros. We cannot have foreign interference in our elections from all these people. And nor should we be interfering in Israel's, right? That shouldn't happen. We don't want to have a one-party state.
We should stop sending billions of dollars a year to Israel. I agree with that. That's what you mean. Stop interfering.
Sliding to a one-party state.
One-party people, for instance.
State.
For instance, there.
Okay, we're both talking over each other. I'm sorry. Richard Becker, hold on a second. Noel Fritsch, go ahead. Richard Becker, I'll get to you in a second. Noel Fritsch, go ahead.
To put a bow on it there, the United States is quickly sliding to a one-party rule state. Like you see in California, where it's an S-hole. You see in Oregon, where it's a S-show. Virginia is turning into an S-show. Just go look at San Francisco. There's poop all over the street, and there's all kinds of degenerate actors, I guess they're citizens, behaving in all kinds of crazy ways, like you see in Tel Aviv It's just unconscionable. That is not the United States of America. We do not want to see that here.
Well, just on a side note here, Richard Baker, if I may ask you, was America like this years ago? Are we seeing what we're seeing today, something that was simmering beneath the current, and now it's come out to the fore with the election of President Trump, perhaps bringing all these feelings out? Because we're seeing, again, it sounds like a broken record, but we truly are seeing a divided America. I mean, we're looking still at Trump to have brought in quite a number of votes. It wasn't maybe perhaps what many people did think. But then again, again, that's just one perspective of it. But more the America today, how it was brought to this point.
Well, first of all, let me say that comical characterization of what life is like in San Francisco by your other guest is really very, very amusing. I mean, I live in San Francisco. I've lived here for almost 40 years. It's not what it's like. That's more of the Trumpista mythology that just goes on and on and on, making up these stories of Trump saving children from sexual slavery when they're coming from Central America. I mean, the most ridiculous things get said now. There is a great polarization that's going on in U.S. society. There's no question about that. And I think the polarization is essentially an outcome of the built-in contradictions which have been very aggravated of the capitalist system itself. The climate change crisis, which is a very, very deep crisis, and is driven by the profit maximization of profit
communist above
all, and the deprivation of people in adequate education, adequate health care, adequate housing, while the billionaires and super billionaires, and I'm no friend of Zuckerberg or Soros or any of them, they get richer and richer and richer. Even in this crisis, in the COVID-19 crisis, as the crisis has proceeded, they have aggregated to themselves.
This is the culmination of that crisis. This is why we had the crisis. Everybody knows
billions
it.
Billions of dollars in added wealth, while the poor get poorer in the society. The contradictions are on many different. There are contradictions in.
They're buying this election right now, sir.
Areas.
They're buying this election right now.
States.
Are you going to call out their money? The dark money.
As long as capitalism continues to exist.
Nolfrich, 30 seconds to you. Go ahead. 30 seconds. 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Nolfrich.
Mr. Becker going to call out all of their dark money, their hundreds of millions of dollars that they're throwing into all of these cities? Is he going
to
call that out? They're literally buying the election. He's talking about doing away with capitalism. That's an open communist statement. Look, and the reason that we had COVID, all Americans know it now. In their gut, they know it. Not that it's not a real bug. It's a real bug. But the reason that it was unleashed on us from China is to steal this election, and everybody knows that now.
Anybody. It's a disease, and it's spread all over the world.
Okay. I guess we're going to have to end it there. Thank you very much. Let me thank our guests for participating in this debate, Noel Fritsch, conservative consultant and commentator from Washington, D.C. I'd also like to thank Richard Baker. Thank you very much from the Answer Coalition, who spoke to us from San Francisco. And that does it for this edition of the debate. From Mika Vitaglis, goodbye. Until next time.
This is IRIB English Radio. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
the limelight.
The same human activities that drive climate change and biodiversity loss also drive pandemic risk through their impacts on environment, says Julia Conley Ryder in an article published under the heading Seismic Shift in World's Approach to Land Use, Wildlife and Climate Action Needed to Avoid New Era of Pandemics, study says. Stay tuned for the details, please. Warning that without a seismic shift in how world governments approach the treatment of wildlife, land conservation, and public health, the planet could be entering an era of pandemics. A United Nations-backed report released on Thursday, October 29th, emphasized that the ability to avoid more public health crises like COVID-19 is entirely within the human population's control. Resulting from an urgent virtual workshop attended by 22 experts from around the world, the report by Intergovernmental Science Policy Platform on Biodiversity and Ecosystem Services notes that more than 5 new diseases emerge in people each other, and each of these has the potential to develop into global pandemic as the coronavirus did. The novel coronavirus has origins in microbes detected in animal species and is believed to have jumped from an animal to the human population. And human activity has made it dangerously easy for this sort of jump to happen again and again. Scientists estimate that 1.7 million unknown viruses currently exist in mammals and birds, and that up to 850,000 of them could potentially infect humans. There is no great mystery about the cause of the COVID-19 pandemic or of any modern pandemic, said Dr. Peter Daszak, president of EcoHealth Alliance and chair of the IPBES workshop. The same human activities that drive climate change and biodiversity loss also drive pandemic risk through their impacts on our environment. Changes in the way we use land, the expansion and intensification of agriculture, and unsustainable trade production and consumption disrupt nature and increase contact between wildlife. To stop a new era of pandemics from emerging, the experts say governments must work together to stop the exploitation of land and wildlife by profit-driven systems which cause humans and animals to come into close enough contact for pathogens to jump to humans. Unsafe contact between humans and wildlife would be reduced by conservation efforts to protect biodiversity and natural habitats. The promotion of responsible consumption and a reduction in excessive consumption of meat from livestock production and climate action, the report reads. Climate change has been implicated in disease emergence, that is, tick-borne encephalitis in Scandinavia, and will likely cause substantial future pandemic risk by driving movement of people, wildlife, reservoir, and vectors, and a spread of their pathogens in ways that lead to new contact among species. Increased contact among species or otherwise disrupts natural host pathogen dynamics, the IPBES wrote. According to the report, land use change has been linked to the emergence of more than 30% of new diseases in the human population since 1960. Land use change includes deforestation, human settlements in primarily wildlife habitat, the growth of crop and livestock production, and urbanization, the report reads. The solution here seems pretty clear, tweeted Dr. Scott Sampson, executive director of the California Academy of Sciences, in response to the report section on land use change. The study includes a number of suggested reforms which could help to keep pathogens from spreading to humans, including launching a high-level intergovernmental council on pandemic prevention to provide decision-makers with the best science and evidence on emerging diseases, predict high-risk areas, evaluate the economic impact of potential pandemics, and to highlight research gaps. Institutionalizing the One Health approach in national governments to build pandemic preparedness, enhance pandemic prevention programs, and to investigate and control outbreaks across sectors. Ensuring that the economic cost of pandemics is factored into consumption, production, and government policies and budgets. Enabling changes to reduce the types of consumption, globalize agricultural expansion, and trade that have led to pandemics. This could include taxes or levies on meat consumption, livestock production, and other forms of high pandemic risk activities. Reducing zoonotic disease risks in the international wildlife trade through a new intergovernmental health and trade partnership. Reducing or removing high disease risk species in the wildlife trade. Enhancing law enforcement in all aspects of the illegal wildlife trade and improving community education in disease hotspots about the health risks of wildlife trade. And finally, valuing indigenous peoples and local communities' engagement and knowledge in pandemic prevention programs, achieving greater food security, and reducing consumption of wildlife. The cost of confronting global public health emergencies after they have arrived, including damage to economies around the world, healthcare costs, and vaccine research, is roughly 100 times what it would cost to prevent another pandemic, the IPVES said. We have the increasing ability to prevent pandemics, but the way we are tackling them right now largely ignores that ability, said Daszak. Our approach has effectively stagnated. We still rely on attempts to contain and control diseases after they emerge through vaccines and therapeutics. We can escape the era of pandemics, but this requires a much greater focus on prevention in addition to reaction.
From the heart of beautiful Iran, IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.